Hey, welcome to the Missio Day podcast. Check us out on the web at missiodaychicago.com.
I belong to the priestly division of Elijah. The incense was offered up each morning and each evening. In my division were only 350 men. But still, that was 350 for only 28 opportunities to take on this. The Talmud declared that if your name was drawn and you offered up the incense, you could not serve again in that week, even if your name was drawn again. Rare was it for a man to receive this honor more than once in his lifetime. Some never received it. This was the offering of the prayers of God's people. The nation's heart cried to God. My heart cried to God. At such a moment, all the hopes of those who looked for the Messiah as the consolation of Israel would gather themselves into one great intercession. While we had been longing and praying and crying out for this for 400 years, yet still we prayed, and still we longed, and still we hoped. For we knew God is faithful to his promises. We remembered that he had said to our father Abraham, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions." And isn't that just what happened? And what an exodus! The Egyptians gave us their wealth. The Lord parted the Red Sea. Our enemies were destroyed. And even in spite of our stupid rebellion over and over and over again, God brought us into the promised land and made us a great and glorious nation. Now here we were again, in a similar place, having selfishly and running after our own ways and the idols of this world brought ourselves into exile. 400 years since the prophet had spoken. 400 years of exile. And yet some of us were now beginning to hope that the time of his appearance, though we knew of no specific word that the Messiah would come in 400 years, still the parable began to stir us. Some even said the prophet Daniel predicted it. Oh, how my heart sang with the thought. However, my heart sank with other thoughts as I moved into my old age. God's faithfulness seemed to dim. But there was another longing in my heart, one that I knew now could never be fulfilled. The time was far past. Oh, how I struggled. Elizabeth and I had given our whole lives to fear the Lord our God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, and to serve him with all of our heart and with all of our soul as his word instructs. And though we remained faithful, quite frankly, I was only holding on by my fingernails. I wanted a child, a son, a continuation of my line, the joy of my wife, a heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb as a reward, says the scripture. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, the righteous who walks in his indignity, blessed are his children after him. But we had no children, not even one. There was no one to receive the blessing of our walk with God. We were both in our eighth decade of life. Elizabeth was barren. No physician could help us. We tried them all, no avail. My heart crumbled every time the whispers began, the gossip that broke my sweet Elizabeth's heart. What did she do to bring on this curse? Oh, she seemed so faithful and outside. Now God knows the heart that he has spoken and made her barren. I could hardly bear it. Perhaps you know how we felt. Perhaps you feel that way today. Perhaps there's something or someone or some circumstance that you so deeply long for and desire that you almost can't stand it anymore. You've cried out to God night and day, but to no avail. And now the time is long past. If so, then my heart goes out to you. This fallen world is very cruel. The enemy loves to heap on discouragement and contempt. We felt laughed at by our community, and especially by the wicked. So as I stepped into the holy place to sprinkle the incense on the coals of the altar, I groaned for my loss. I tried to stir my heart to the wonder of the privilege that I had been given. If this was indeed the time of the Messiah's coming, I knew my pain would be washed away in the joy of that. I prayed that day as I had never prayed before, knowing that ultimately the Lord was my heritage. As I watched the smoke ascend, I knew the Almighty was hearing the prayers of his people gathered outside. I knew, too, that many of them had unfulfilled longings for hopes long past his desire. And I wept for them and for me. How long, O Lord? And then, it was blinding, terrifying. I certainly could not breathe, could not stand. I was overwhelmed with a fear I have no words for. I thought I was a dead man. Do not be afraid, he said. Do not be afraid. I was terrified. Standing before me was a man, a creature, an angel sent from God, more bright and glorious than the noonday sun, emanating a power which nearly crushed me on the spot. And yet his words began to strangely calm me. Your prayer has been heard, he said. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people. This was too much. Decades of longing, of hoping, of trying everything. And now that I'm in my 80s, and my wife is long past the bearing years of even a fertile woman, you're telling me I will have a son. And a mighty, Holy Spirit-filled son going forth in the spirit and power of Elijah at that? I just stare. Wrap my mind around this. This was too much. There was no way this was true. It was an utter impossibility. And I told this angel just that. I said, how could that be possible? Look at me. I'm very old. And so is my wife. Not to mention she's barren and has been all her life. I absolutely could not believe it. I know you think. What about Abraham and Sarah? He was 100, she was 90. But I was a lot like most of you. To me, that was then, but this was now. God did mighty things in the far distant past, but even then, Sarah lived to be 127 years old, and Abraham to 175, and he went on to father six more children. So maybe it wasn't such a miracle after all. In our day, people rarely lived much beyond 40 years old. We weren't just old, we were ancient. Now, this simply could not be. God didn't do miracles. But the angel wasn't acting now. And I felt a fear rising again, and he said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the time that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And I was literally speechless. When I finally came out from the holy place, I was overwhelmed by the questions of all around. They were all clamoring after why I was in there for so long, chastising me for overstepping my bounds, for scaring me all to death. Took a bit of gesturing and grabbing this one and that one to get them to look me in the eye and see that I could not talk. But finally they understood that I had seen the vision. If they only knew. After my days of service were ended that week, I went home with my sweet Elizabeth, and it wasn't long before she was with child. I will never forget the joy and radiance on her face as she exclaimed, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. What are you doing? Where in your life do you feel ashamed, hurt, discouraged, downcast, laughed at through no fault of your own? What is breaking your heart today? How powerful is the temptation to give up on, to believe the lies of the enemy, to believe that God does not care, to believe that he has abandoned you. Though until that day I had no promise that I would ever have a son. And though there were many people I knew in similar states of longing for things, relationships, and circumstances who never received fulfillment in this life, I was granted my heart's longing, even in my unbelief. What I then saw was that, as joyful as that fulfillment was, it was ultimately only temporary. My enjoyment of that blessing was relatively short-lived. Indeed, if I had received the blessing of children in my early years, as good and joyful as that would have been, it does not compare with the greater and permanent blessing I have received for eternity. The new and better blessing which my son ran before and introduced to the world. Jesus. In my day, we only knew the shadow leading us to his day. We focused much on the temporal realities of day-to-day living, not really understanding the glories that were to come. Today, you have the reality, and much more clearly explained. God has spoken in these last days in his Son, Jesus. It is finished. Messiah has come, and he rules and reigns even now in this moment. His Holy Spirit dwells in you to guard, guide, comfort, gift, and empower you for anything and everything he calls you to do. You have the privilege of entering not just into the holy place, but directly into the Holy of Holies. Not by one lot, perhaps only once in your lifetime, but rather every moment of every day. There you find grace to help in time of need. Whatever you are longing for in this life, whatever burdens you and weighs you down, He has promised you and cast it all on Him, for He truly and eternally cares for you. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And His promise is that the best is yet to come. Amen.
Christ has died.